Oh, what fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm so glad I got somebody that's, I can't hold myself, but I got one that holds me. You know, you'll never forget the day he reached out and got a hold of you and brought you up out of the pits of hell, out of the pits of sin. And I'm so glad I got one that continued to hold me. Your brother Bram said one time they asked him when his daughter died and his wife died and all that. And, you know, he said, did you keep your religion? He said, no, kept me. I'm so glad we got one that holds on to us. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Now what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Morning. God bless you. Brother John Durrett's dad used to sing that song. Lean on the everlasting arms. I used to love to hear him sing it.
Amen.
Amen. I thought it was, I was thinking this morning, Brother John was teaching that, you know, we don't have to be angry with Satan for doing anything to us. Just be thankful to God that we overcome what the devil put against us.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 46, rather. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we're thankful, Lord, for the things that you do for us. Lord, how you're mindful of us, Lord, and care for us. Lord, when we go ways, Lord, that we thought was impossible to get through, Lord, what you brought us through in a way. Lord, we ask you for when we ride on the road, Lord, there's so many people with angry minds and hatred in their hearts, Lord, that would destroy us if they could. But Lord, you bring us through, and that's what we're so grateful and thankful for. We ask you this morning, as we gather one another, let us pray unto you that all of our minds be yielded unto you, and that you will bless us all together and lead us and guide us in Jesus Christ's name forever. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, I will not leave fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early.
Be ye enraged, the kingdom was removed. He uttered his voice, the earth melted.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.
Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God bless you. You may be seated.
At this time, we'll, Brother Kern, can you come help, brother? Amen. We're going to worship in tithes and offerings this morning. Amen.
Father God, we stand here as a thankful bunch, Lord, knowing that it's you and you alone that has brought us into your house, Lord, Father. Pray, Lord, in doing so, Lord, that you will meet the needs of the people. Bless the minister as he comes to bring his word, Lord. We also pray and bless these tithes and offerings, Lord, may be used for the furtherance of your ministry. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sing this little chorus. Just any day now, our Lord is coming.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see. Feel afraid, you're my hiding place, you are my refuge. Here when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing, 'cause you are my refuge. You are my refuge. You are my sanctuary when I feel afraid. beneath your wings. I rejoice and sing, 'cause you are my refuge. Yes, you are my refuge. You are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. Here when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing, 'cause you are my refuge. You are my refuge. You are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. Here when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing, 'cause you are my refuge. Amen. Let's all stand. How many can say that you're there in that refuge this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. When the storm is raging, no matter what comes my way, I cannot be moved. I'm in that refuge. Amen. As Brother Wade comes this morning, let's sing that song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. How many want to see your eyes open this morning? Open the word to me, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. The eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power. Shining in the light of His glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Sing it to Him.
He is holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
To see you.
Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. I'm going to see the Lord today. Looking right at Him. Amen. Oh my, you are my refuge. How many of us want to be in a concrete bunker? Nah. How many of us want to be underground several hundred feet? Nope. How many want to be under eagle's wings? That's where we're gonna survive. Give me some feathers. You can have all the concrete you want. You can have all the steel you want. Give me some feathers. Amen. It will hide under His wing. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every mind. If we had all them that's over there at the wedding here, we wouldn't have a place for people to sit. We got about as many visitors as we do people, but want to remember. Brother Luis and Sister Christine are on their way back from, they were over in St. Augustine, Jacksonville down that way. So they're on their way back. We're all going to meet over there at the wedding. Good to have Brother Steve and Sister Emily Curtis from Brother Jason Watkins Church. I see him when I watch you. He plays flat guitar too. Yes, he does. He plays flat guitar. We had a brother here that did that passed away, and we really miss it. That flat guitar. We appreciate that. But good to have them with us. That is Brother Micah Curtis's parents. I think maybe that's the sister of the group over there. I don't think that's the mom. Boy, I really know how to butter them up. Good to have you with us. Make yourself at home. You're just with family. You're just meeting new family members today. Amen. Good to have you with us. Also, we have another set of visitors. I think you've been here. Larissa, you've been here before, haven't you? Sister Larissa and Sister Olivia and Brother Michael. Good to have you with us today. I think we were over there when y'all proposed. Were we? You proposed. Well, where's yours? Let's continue preaching. Just kidding. They're good to have all of you. And they're from Brother Matthew Bray's church. They're actually Borlevons connected. That's Brother Dorrell's two girls. But good to have you with us today. And just make yourself at home in the house of the Lord. All right, let's get these announcements out of the way. Brother Bob will be speaking Wednesday night for us. That'll be the night. June and I are leaving tomorrow morning, going to Illinois. I'm going to hunt. She's going to rest. And we'll be gone for a week, so we'll be back on Friday. But just keep us in your prayers, all right? And remember today at 4 o'clock, if you have RSVP'd and you're going to the wedding, it's on our WhatsApp account there. And I think if you need directions, somebody will give them to you. But that will be at 4 o'clock. Brother Zach and Sister Lily will be uniting together. And we sure appreciate them. Amen. Remember November the 13th, that will be next Sunday. There was nobody early today. Thank God for cell phones. Before cell phones, you'd forget to change your clock back or forward. Now you just set that thing to get you up at 6:30 in the morning, and you just let that thing go forward or backwards, right? So that's great. Nobody was here. And then you know, in the spring, when you go forward, Sue, did you not? Okay. Yeah, that's true. You never know. She gets up about the crack of noon. There is a early time in the morning that's really nice. It's a nice time, real quiet, before your husband gets up. So anyway, so thank you for that. But next Sunday, we're going to have one service next Sunday. Now, next Sunday is going to be the dinner, our annual Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. All right, be downstairs, only one service. We're going to start at 9:45 regular time, but we're not going to have any Sunday school class. Reason being is number one, we will be eating and only have one service, but my dad's brother will be 85, and they're giving him a surprise birthday party that day, and we would like to attend. So, and it's at 1 o'clock, so we're going to start at 9:45. We'll have a regular 30-minute or so service, and then we'll preach till maybe about 11:30 or so, and then we will go eat, and then y'all can stay here, but we got to go to Guildsville and honor his he's got two living brothers, and that's all that's left of them. So, and they're getting older because he's the baby, and he's 82. So, yeah. So we have one service. If you haven't signed up for food or talked to June or Sister Esther about food, you need to do that today. But that will be next Sunday on the 13th. Now, the following Sunday, that will be November the 20th. Brother Andrew Glover will be here on Sunday because I'll be back in Illinois hunting, and I'll be with Brother Richard Height that weekend. So, getting on our way back. Also, remember, November 22nd, on a Tuesday, we will not have a Wednesday night service. It'll be Tuesday night. Tuesday night, November 22. All right? Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. Y'all ain't going to remember none of this. See what I have to put up, Brother Stephen? Do you want to put up with it? I know Brother Jason does the same thing. He announced it 14 times, and they'll go, "You never said that." So anyway, December the 4th, we'll have our Christmas dinner, so we'll announce that later on. But remember, next Sunday, no Sunday school at all. We'll just start at 9:45, and we'll go to till probably 11:30 or so, and then we'll eat here, and then we'll leave and take off, and y'all can fellowship here if you want to, but that kind of fell on the same day. So, and I know we all have things that we, man, here it is November and coming up December. And I know we all got things that we're looking forward to, family and friends. Please be with your family. Amen. Don't shun them. They're part of you. Amen. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you again for all your visitors coming and for, thank you yesterday for all the sisters and brothers that helped yesterday. We had the rehearsal dinner here, and thank you all for setting up and taking down, and Sister Janet and Sister Rachel, which they're over there now. I want to thank them and the other brothers for helping yesterday, and it went very, very well, and you'll see the culmination of that at 4 o'clock. So let's just keep them in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray, Lord, that you'll just settle us now. We've got all the preliminaries out of the way, Lord. We've done all the taking up of offering. We've read your word, Father. We've prayed. We've made our announcements. Now, Father, help us to just sit back for a few moments and listen, Lord. Please use this vessel of clay, Lord. Just move us out of the way and let my thoughts be your thoughts, Lord. And your ways, Lord, be projected into a group of people. We pray now that you just be with Lily and Zach, Lord, is their special day today, Father. We pray that you just be with them. Be with the families, Lord. There's a connection of two families fixing to come together, Lord, and I pray that it becomes smooth and that the wedding just becomes so smooth, Lord. Break back the clouds, Lord. They're wanting to have it outside, Father. Just pray that you'd break those back and let us have a wonderful service outside, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with us now to further in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I know Brother Stevens, he's used to teaching because Brother Jason's a really good teacher. And he's on series, and I'm on series part 69. When we're all Southerners, so we're all slow. Even y'all lower Alabama ones and all you ones from South Carolina, we're from Georgia, so we're just a little bit slow. But that's all right. Amen. The turtle always wins a race in that book. I have never read that book where the hare ever won. The turtle won the race every time. Even when I was a little kid, Mom would read it to me. The turtle won. I read it to my granddaughter. The turtle won. And yes, there were books when I was a little kid. Okay? Sorry. Hmm? She here? Yes, Josiah's girlfriend's here. Okay. Your Mama June up here taking care of you when your real mama's not here. Good to have you here, Sister Watkins. Talk about her daddy, and she's back there. Oh, boy. But good to have you with us. I didn't see you back there, but good to have you with us. So let's read the scripture and be seated. But we're on the topic of who is this Son of Man, and we've started this series 69 weeks ago, and we haven't even got to the first virtue yet. So, but we're trying to get a foundation, and today we're going to talk a little bit more about that foundation. But we're looking at the scripture in John 1, says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made in your flesh. 2,000 years ago is good. That's fine. But if he's not come in your flesh, amen, then he came for naught. He came so that what? You and I could be his victory. You and I could be his glory. Amen. And the Word was made flesh. So let's not take 2,000 years ago. We're going to take it today. And dwelt among us. That's the you. That's why I said shake a hand. Shake a hand to God. I'm not worthy. Well, the Bible says you are.
Amen.
Like Brother John said, the whole program's been right here the whole time. Yeah. Right here. Yeah. Amen. No self-help book. We don't need Joel Osteen or somebody to tell us how to live better. Yeah. We need a Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, which is today. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go ahead and be seated, and we'll read these. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4 says that every one of you should know, look how positive that is, should know how to possess his vessel.
Amen.
Now, not your neighbor's, not your wife, not your daughter's, not your neighbor, yours.
Amen.
How to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Amen. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. It's what we've been talking about for the past few weeks. We'll continue on a little bit more. And I want to speak maybe next Sunday on a topic that's maybe a little bit strange, but it all connects together, but the power of a thought.
Yeah.
Think of the power of a thought, because what did Brother Brown say? He said it was a thought first.
Yeah.
Then it became a word.
Right.
Then it became expressed. And the Word was thought of before the foundation of the world. But that word became flesh when he spoke through Isaiah and said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. All right? But be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Not just turn over a new leaf, not just have a good thought, like we're going to talk about next Sunday, Lord willing, by the renewing of your mind. The Bible tells us we're supposed to have the what? The mind of Christ. By the renewing of your mind, because you were born this way. Right here with my hand. You were born this way. Everybody in this building came the same way. All right? There's no secret to that. Every person except for Jesus Christ that ever began by desire. Everybody with me? All right? So you've got to have a renewing of that carnal mind, because that carnal mind is what? It's enmity. It's a division between you and God that God put there. But God had a plan. Praise God. God had a plan and a purpose. The prophet of God told us. And he sent us a prophet to make that purpose not different, but to make it more clear than any other person ever brought on the face of the earth. They never understood Jesus Christ. Because they didn't have the new birth. That's why I said we spent so many of those 69 sermons, probably what, 50 of them was on you must be born again. All right? Because Brother Brown said you got to be born again. Not in your spirit, but in your soul.
Amen.
All right? You got to, what, by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? That you may prove.
Yes.
You may prove. It's in your lap now. We know God's infinite. We know he's eternal. We know he never makes a mistake. We know he never had a bad thought. What about me and you? He's going to transfer that to me and you. And if we have the mind of Christ, we're supposed to think like God. Wow. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Matthew 12, verse 34. So we'll get to these a little bit later. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh. Your thoughts come from... Listen, your thoughts do not originate in your brain. Whoa. Your thoughts originate in that inside guy. Your brain is just a computer that you punched in just like you do now. It's a hard drive. You have to punch in the information, then it spits it out. And sometimes we do spit out some misinformation. And everybody says... Amen. All right, good. So I want to make sure we're still in this message church. I'll ask several times, Brother Steve, how many people believe Brother Brown was a prophet. We'll have to make sure you raise your hand, okay? For out of the abundance, please do. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Look, a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, not this thing that, but the center of you, the cardia, we're going to talk about in just a minute. That's where they get the word cardiology from. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure. That's where we were before we were born again. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
All of us. Our thoughts were evil continually. Is everybody with me? Now listen. We may still have those evil thoughts. Oh, if you hadn't, please pray for me. Okay? Please pray for me. All right? I just don't express them like I used to express them before. Because what? Because like we were talking last Sunday, that fountain, that water has been made what? It's not bitter anymore. That fountain is a fountain of living water. That fountain is something that we want you to drink from. That's where we're going to get to virtue if we ever get to it. We'll get to virtue. That is that fountain that everybody wants to drink from. All right? Now, the statue of perfect man, Brother Ram tells us, so now that's the way it is, trying to manufacture Christianity. Listen, I don't want any feathers that's stuck in.
Amen.
No, I want the eagle feathers that's already produced from the eagle.
Amen.
All right? If you've got eagle feathers and you're an eagle and you got eagle feathers, yeah. But if you're just chicken and you stuck some eagle feathers in, you start coming to a message church and wearing your hair long and dressed. Anyway, I don't want that.
Amen.
From the abundance of the heart.
Amen.
The mouth speaketh. And there's one thing for sure. For those of you that are visiting today, I told the church, first of the year, right? What did I tell you? Let it out. Whatever you got inside of you, it's going to come out anyway. Just let it out. Whether it be bad, that's okay. If you let it out. And then if it's good, you let it out so that others can what? Drink from your fountain or can smell your roses or smell your lily or whatever you want to say. So the first thing you got to do is what? Be born again. You got to be changed. You're not just going to take. You're not going to take just a mind change though. It's a heart. That's why God chose the heart. Satan chose what? The mind. And that's what, where the greatest battle ever fought is. It's not in warfare out there. It's in the battle of your mind. Because listen, that's where your thoughts originate from, the heart. Now here we have a chart. It's what we've been talking about for 69 sermons. But we started down here at the foundation. And we believe here in this church that you got to be born again. We don't believe that you came here with this eternal life in you. No. You came with representation. You came with the foreknowledge thought of God, that that seed was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. But you were born lost. I was born dead or I didn't need sanctified. I was born dead or I didn't need justified. And I was born dead if I didn't need a new birth. My first birth would have been right the first time. Amen? We know those quotes. We know those things. But I want us to understand you were lost. You were lost as lost could be before God got a hold of you and said, hey, be my child. And you either what? You either chose to be or not to be. Amen? And we hope today that them two say, I will over yonder and I do. Okay? That's a choice they're going to have to make. A life choice. I like that. Let's give Brother John one more hand. That was good. I enjoy. You know, me and June, we started with Financial Peace a long, long time ago. And we taught some of the courses and they're all biblical. Yeah. It's not just a self-help book. I mean, it's all biblical that you need to what? You need to not be laden with debt. I know we do have some debt. You've got your house payment, but you don't need four cars with four car payments. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Just want to make sure we're still in the same place where John, Brother John was. The same. We hadn't went switched buildings. But we go back to where Brother Branham is telling us, and I just try to background a little bit for the ones that's not been here, that we believe in justification, sanctification. We believe in the new birth. And we believe that starts at faith, not up here at the top of the pyramid. It seals you more at the top of the pyramid. It seals those virtues inside of you. Everybody with me? Say amen. All right. And then Brother Brown told us, said that God came back on the day of Pentecost, or Jesus did, as the Holy Ghost, as the Son of God dispensation. Is everybody with me? Now that was the Spirit God's that came inside those 120 in the upper room and gave them the new birth. And it's been giving the new birth all the way up through the church ages. But now, in the end time, we got to look at another dispensation change, and that would be the Son of Man. They didn't get the revelation of the Son of Man. The Son of Man stood on earth. Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. There was the headstone. There were the seals. There were all the revelation of God was standing in Jesus Christ. All right? But he went away and came back to be the what? Foundation stone or the cornerstone of the church. But in the end time, according to what? Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7. God was going to come back in the end time and right all the wrongs. Because remember, under the Son of God revelation, there was some Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism going on. There was some Trinitarian doctrine going on. Hello, somebody. But God honored that, and the prophet said, winked at their ignorance, knowing that you and I, though, he's not winking at our ignorance today. You're not ignorant. If you've been in a message church at least a year, you should not be ignorant of these Trinitarian doctrines and all the other things that we take for granted. All right? So the Son of God revelation could not take a body change. There's no way you can have your body changed with false doctrine inside of you. Everybody with me? But now the Son of Man revelation, I asked you many times before, how many times was Jesus wrong? How many times did he say, well, I didn't do what my father said today. I think I just did what I wanted to do. Did he?
No,
he said, I only do that what the Father tells me to do. I only do. I subject my humanity. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And that's what's got to happen to me and you. We've got to subject our humanity. That's why we've got to have renewing of our mind. Because remember, the virtue here on the pyramid is not being a virgin. You can be a virgin all the days of your life and die and go to hell. You can have knowledge, temperance. There's a lot of people that have bad temper. But there's a lot of people in this earth that's not even born again that you could beat them up over the head, throw them under a truck, and they wouldn't. They just say, okay. Because Brother Brown said some of these virtues are naturally given. But when you get born again, what's going to happen? When you get born again, you come under that change, and you got to now become aware of that temper.
Amen.
Come on, somebody, listen. Getting a new birth didn't do away with your temper. If it did, some of y'all needs born again. Get born again. I said some of us. I'm sorry, some of us. But what? He's still working on me, right? But the Son of Man revelation is what came back in the end time. Let's just bring it all back together to the opening of the seals. Because the seals are Jesus Christ. The seals are what? The sealing of the book of redemption. Yeah. It's opening that book so that we can read it and read that there was no Trinitarian doctrine. Wow. Listen, do you know, we'll talk about it next Sunday. Do you know that thought that they had? That thought that they had at Nicaea was the thought of the devil, but the religious world accepted it.
Amen.
That was never the thought of God.
That's right.
So the thought of God had to come back in the end time through a little man.
Yeah.
And that pure thought of God, he would speak and he'd say, hey, I saw you yesterday. You were outside. You had on a red shirt. You live at 427. Where'd that come from?
Amen.
I didn't come from William Branham.
Right.
But remember, that wasn't his message. That was to get the attention of the people.
Right. Right.
Bait on the hook, he said. Not in the years of preparation. Not in the healing campaign. But when the Word, what, the Son of Man, when he stood one day and he said, I and my Father are one.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, he said, when the bride says, I and my Father are one, and these other things, she'll be an invincible army. I'll tell you, some of the visitors here, I know that y'all know it, but I think as the bride of Jesus Christ, we beat the oneness up. We beat the Trinitarians up, but we've been two-ness our whole life. Jesus over yonder and us over here. And y'all even understood. I said yonder, and you understood what I said. But Jesus over there, me over here. I'm not worthy. I'm this. I'm not. I'm this. I'm not.
Right.
But read John 17.
Hey.
Father, I pray that they may be one. They.
Yes.
As we are one. Now, how was the Father and Jesus one?
Mm-hmm.
No. One. We are the further manifestation of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
We are not two-ness. We're oneness. True oneness. Adam and Eve were truly one. They were literally bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh. They literally had their own DNA. Now, me and my wife have been married 43 years. Mom and dad have been married 60-something years. Some of you have been married a long time. But you never won. You'll have two DNAs. You'll have two thoughts. You'll have two ideas. Oh, come on, somebody. Say amen. Okay. All right. I thought me and Jim was the only ones I'm glad to worry about in here. But Adam and Eve, though, were one body. But yet two separate beings standing here. Brother Brown said that's true oneness. True oneness was God could come down and talk to Adam and Eve in the garden, treat them co-equal, somebody.
Right.
Only after the fall was it like this, but co-equal. Right. So what about the bride of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
No. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever he gets, we get.
Right.
He got a body change, we get a body change.
Absolutely.
He was the Son of Man, we're the Son of Man. So now we've looked at a higher form of justification, a higher form of sanctification. Not that we just die daily, but that sanctification has totally wiped the thing out.
Right.
Brother Brown said, the real you didn't do it.
Amen.
And you got to realize that. Oh, but I was just thinking the other day how bad I was. God didn't. This family, we go fishing a lot of times in the sea of forgetfulness. We go dragging all that old stuff back out. And God's like, can you just leave it alone? Stop fishing in this pond. All right? I can't remember what you did. What a mighty God.
Amen.
So now what are we doing? We're on the Son of God revelation, but we're heading toward the Son of Man. Where the Son of Man, where we're going to what? Speak the word. And what? The rapture is going to take place. But we're going to speak the word first and the resurrection is going to take place. Listen, we in this church believe one thing for sure. I'm not looking for the rapture. Boy, get them quiet. I'm not looking for rapture. A rapture is a culmination of the body change, them coming out of the ground first, so let's preach resurrection, then let's preach body change, then let's get out of here. Because rapture is ecstasy. It means what? The culmination, the height, the what? Something you want, you're going up to. But we got to get the dead out of the ground first. Listen, you got to destroy death in this thing first. And through the Son of Man revelation, that's exactly what we're going to do. So let's move on if that's all right with y'all. We talk about this. The other day, we were talking about the three Hebrew children. Brother Brown was telling a wonderful story. And I've just got part of it, so I'll paraphrase some of it. You know, y'all all knew what I was talking about. What happened with the three Hebrew children, we talk about trials and tribulations that we have in our life, and we think, man, this is so insurmountable. What was insurmountable was, is that they were looking at a furnace that was heated seven times hotter than it was supposed to be. So, have you ever been to a campfire and put something in like a burn barrel or something? That thing starts glowing. You know not to touch that. Amen. They heat it so hot, the people that were taking them in died. Amen. But you know what it did to them? It didn't kill them. What it done... Brother Brown said it loosed them from what they, their bonds. It just burnt their bonds off. Same way with you and I, tribulation we go through. We say, oh, this is the end. My kids are gone. My wife's this, my husband, my family, my church. Maybe if you'll keep walking toward the fire, keep walking toward the fire, maybe your bounds, what you bound with is going to be loosed. You know what? They didn't even smell like smoke. That's how much God protected them. But watch this, Brother Ram says, sometimes in our own lives, that paradox repeats. Sometimes you're brought to a showdown where you have to make a decision. I've been preaching on making a decision because you got to make a decision whether you want to go up the statue of perfect man or not. Where you have to make a decision. You have to stand on that decision. Yes. Like they did. They stood up one day and said, hey, that's all right. You worship whoever you want to. We're not worshiping that image, which was an image of who? Oh. Well, and then a prophet. Think about that for a minute. They said, but we're not bowing down to that image. If we die, we die. If we live, we live. We're heading toward the furnace. Oh, no, I don't want that furnace. You got to go through fiery trials to burn off the bands that you got wrapped around your head or your arms or your feet. And listen, even when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he was still bound. Remember? Jesus said, loosen and let him go. We need a loosen. We've had a resurrection in our soul. We've had a resurrection. But what about a loosening to let us go so that we can go up the statue of perfect man and we can be a living, moving instrumentality of God? Everybody with me? You have to stand on that decision. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God is going to make you make a decision. You've heard me say it many times before. He's not going to let you be wishy-washy all the time. He'll put up with you every once in a while. But somewhere, someday, you're going to have to stand and say, I'll take it or I won't take it. All right? I have decided to follow Jesus. Like they did. And it all worked together for the good. What did it do? It never hurt them. It loosed them. And I like what Brother Brown said in that rest of that quote. He's talking about the man that was drowning in the water. He said, you got to get the man out of the water first before you can get the water out of the man. Amen? Amen? Amen. You got to get the man out of the water. Preach repentance. Get him out of the water. And then get the water out of the man. Amen. In other words, get him out of the world and then get the world out of them. Yep. Amen. By what? Preaching the word of God. Not stomping, shouting, throwing them across the aisle. No. The word of God defeats more demons than anything in the world. Jesus Christ, look, the Son of Man, if we're going to be that character. I believe in prayer lines. I believe in laying on hands. You know it. But Jesus never had to do that. He didn't have to. He did. He did because of them. He wanted to do it the Gentile way. Oh, you just say the word and it'll happen. Got called a dog, one of those Gentile women did. And she said, but dogs eat from the master's table. So us Gentile dogs have assembled today to eat for the crumbs from the master's table. Amen? Amen? But we have been transformed by the renewing of our mind, what? Into the bride of Jesus Christ. That what? We sit at the table all the time now. Amen. Amen. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
But we got to get to a place. Brother Brown said, look, committed to him. The greatest weapon I know of a Christian today is what? Committal to God.
Amen.
Committal to God. Give it to him.
That's right. Amen.
When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to him and what? God will take care of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Greatest battle ever fought. I believe that the greatest battle was ever fought is, look, 1962. He said it's now ready to go into action. You'd think, man, it's been going to action since 1947 back in Spurgeon and all. No, he said right here, it took a prophet to tell us now the battle's fixing to rage. And it's going to rage Satan against the bride.
Amen.
Listen, the devil don't care about them people out there.
No.
He's got them defeated.
Uh-huh. Right.
He's not got the bride defeated.
Right.
And even in the bride, you know, somebody said many years ago, they said, oh, the bride really looks bad or looks awful or it looks bad for the bride. Never has.
Right.
You're looking at the mixed multitude. You're looking at the ones that's hanging around for the fishes and the loaves. You're not looking at the true bride, because the true bride will always,
amen,
always stand forward, always be the best,
amen,
and always take what God said.
Amen.
Always. And I believe that the greatest battle ever fought is now ready to go into action. Now. So that's the prophet. He told us now it's ready to go into action. What? When the seals opened, that opened up the mind of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But remember, it also opened up the mind of the devil too. Because he's got to incarnate a beast down here at the end time. And he don't know how to do that until God incarnates me and you. Because remember, he's a copycat. He's not an originator. He don't know how. That's why he's watching you. That's why he came to church. He got here before you did. Some of you brought him with you. I believe that God has been selecting his soldiers. That's us. I believe he's been dressing them.
Amen.
Training them for 60 years since the prophet left. Training them, and the battlefront is now set, getting ready to start. Where? In the mind of the individual. When this great battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. Now look, that battle began where? In the human mind. We know that because that's why he preached the greatest battle ever fought. Everybody with me? All right, and that battleground began in the human mind. It didn't begin in the heart. Because you were dead and lost if Satan was in your soul. Amen? So that's the choice you got to make to drive that unclean spirit out and let God come in, seal you in as a unit. Everybody with me? Okay. Chief, he said, now in me, after he gets born again. Listen, I didn't have a fight when I wasn't born again. Did you? Am I talking to the same people? I didn't fight. I did what I wanted to do. Said what I wanted to say. Drank what I wanted to drink. Go where I wanted to go. Why? It's all black. But oh, when the Holy Ghost comes in, burns out that black, Satan knows he can't get. It's like that hot furnace. Satan's trying to grab your soul and he's like, oh, but you got a spirit realm. I can get into that spirit realm and I can play. That's my playground. That's why God took the heart. Now, if Satan's not in your what? Your heart, your soul. Then the battleground begins in what? In your mind. There is where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle where it was begin. And that is because the decisions are made from the mind, the head. Brother Brown tells us in the church age book, you have to suffer to reign. Remember, Sister Larissa, this is not a cruise ship. We're not on a cruise ship voyage. Fantasy Island. Bring me a... No, I don't drink Mai Tais. What I was going to say that for? Bring me something. Don't be laughing. But this is a battleship you're on. And it's a big difference with the crew on the battleship as the crew on the cruise ship. The cruise ship is everybody's joyful and everybody's fine. On the battleship, you're either going to die or you're going to kill somebody. We're going to kill the devil. I want him dead. And you know what? God's give us the ammunition. He's give us an army full of believers that needs to put on that armor. But you got to suffer a little bit. Remember, five-star generals were not made in the mess hall. Five-star generals was made in the battlefield. He made the right decision based on what? Based on his intelligence. He made the right decision. And then what? He saved many lives. He won the battle. So therefore, he gets five-star or ever how many on his shoulder. So it goes through what? Suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not something you were born with. Even at the new birth. Well, don't get quiet on me now. It was a victory to get born again, but now you got other battles to start with. All right, a man without character can't reign because power, what? The Holy Ghost without character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. All right, is everybody with me? Brother Bram said, why am I against organized religion? Now, many times we've heard people preach on the statue of perfect. Well, actually, we don't hear many people ever preach on the statue of perfect, man. But a lot of them preach it with the pyramid turned upside down. With it, you got to get all these virtues before you get the Holy Ghost. Yes, there is a doctrine like that. I've heard it before. Brother Dale has too. And Aaron has too. That you got to get all these virtues to get the Holy Ghost. How are you going to get Holy Ghost virtue without the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
That's the devil putting a thought in your mind. But that Holy Spirit seals you in. Remember, if you got a little crack, the devil's going to stick his finger in it.
Yeah.
A little bitty crack in a building. Have you ever seen a building, though? You go see the building, you see a little crack. If there's nothing done about it, what's going to happen in about 5 years? Crack's going to be about this long. About five more years after that. In other words, you and your battle and your journey, your armor is going to have a crack in it. Satan's going to stick his finger in it. But remember, folks, look. If what is purpose to the church, that's me and you, the life that was in Christ isn't reflecting in you, don't you stand still. Until you haven't got, until you haven't got patience, virtue, and all these things, temperance, godliness. And all these things are required.
Yes.
It's a requirement.
Amen.
That we preach on this. It's a requirement that you come to these virtues.
Yes.
Then, of course, I'm not going to background much on this, but you've heard the expression, it's all in your head. Amen? It's all in your head. Because remember, when you see that, it means it comes from your head. It's imaginary, made up, psychosomatic. While it indeed is from your head, it implies that it was created by your mind, not that it's from your brain. We come out of the internet, must be right. It means if something is all in your head, you have imagined it, and it's not real. How many times have we had a thought that we formulated, we've created, we've colored it, and it never come to pass? God is not that way. When he has a thought, it's going to be expressed. So if we have the mind of Christ, because the thoughts of man got involved in Nicaea and all the different ones, and it was all in their head. They formulated an idea that God was three. They formulated that the Father, Son, Holy Ghost was a doctrine. And that there was a purgatory. And that there was this and that and the other. That was a formulation. But you know what? Man didn't think of it all himself. Mm-hmm. Satan had a what? He had part in it. Because why? He can get in your mind.
Right.
He can run around in your mind. And he can make you think these things. That's what he did with Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a born again believer in his soul. Mm-hmm. But what a paradox. That was in his soul never believed what he was preaching. Somebody say amen. Because that couldn't. There's no way a Father, Son, Holy Ghost doctrine originated from his soul if he was born again. It originated of a formulation of a spirit that he got on him. Come on, somebody. That's where all doctrines come from. It's a spirit that gets on you. Good or bad. So is it all in your head? James 1 says, be careful. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, I'm reading the Bible, is unstable in some of his ways. Oh, it says all. Y'all can read that? It says all his ways. All. That word double-minded actually means wavering, uncertain, doubting. Look, divided in interest. Some of you sit here today with thoughts in your mind and you're somewhere else. I'll have my hand up. There's some been sometimes people been preaching. My mind went somewhere else. Elvis had left the building. Well, I'm just honest enough to tell you. I was honest enough to tell you I got caught with a cell phone in my hand. But don't we, though? You formulate ideas. Especially either the excuse you make of, well, I'm not listening to him because I don't understand him. I don't like him. He's not wearing my favorite vest. He's... But if you bring those thoughts, the Bible says, in captivity to the Word of God. Bring those thoughts. That's what we're going to talk about next Sunday. Bring those thoughts. Listen, cast down imagination. Listen, Brother Dale tells a story about there was one brother who was real honest with him back when he was preaching. Brother comes up to Brother Dale after the sermon. Said, Brother Dale, said, I want to tell you, I figured out how to fix my tractor while you were preaching, right? Please, y'all don't do that to me. That hurt my feelings. I want to think that everybody's getting everything. At least he was honest. He learned how to fix his tractor. But that was him. That was his thoughts. Cast down imagination. We're going to talk about that maybe next Sunday. Cast it down. What? Get rid of it. It's your choice. Remember, you can't help the birds that fly over your barn. But take a double-barrel shotgun and blow them in the head and they won't build a nest in your house. I promise you that. You can use a single barrel if you want to, but a double barrel works twice as good. But Brother Brown tells us even the right mental attitude. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God. Now, not the right mental attitude toward what you want.
That's right.
How about, come on. Yeah. Not like the one, no. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise. Your right mental attitude toward God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it.
Right.
See, don't let the devil know it.
Hallelujah.
Always say, I've got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, I'm like Brother Dale. There's a lot of things you blame on the devil you did yourself. He just might have encouraged you to do it. And when you stepped out into his field, guess what? He really helped you with it. Always remember, church, God's words are true. I believe the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it, look, if you can look at it in the right way. But remember, here's my standard in life. And I read this because this should be our standard in life, kind of what Brother John was preaching this morning. The first thing I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. And what is His will? His will is His word. It's like I told you about the brother. The brother comes up to the pastor of a church several years ago and says, Brother, God has impressed me. Now, Brother Steve, don't you try this. God has impressed me to go to work on Sunday. Well, he was right there out of the will of God. To go to work on Sunday to make this extra, like, double time at his place. He volunteered for it. So I can give all the money to missions. Well, his motive and objective was right. But the will of God, it was not. So that stopped the whole plan right there. If it's not the will of God, stop. Whether your motive and objective, listen, there are some hungry people overseas that he did feed, I'm sure. But about a year from that, he wasn't even going to church. He backslid. See, he got out of the will of God first. First thing, Brother Brown said, look, find out whether it's the will of God or not. Then I know it's God's will. The next thing, see, he moved over. I know it's God's will. The next thing he moves to what? See if my objective to it and my motive in doing it. Then if it's the will of God, my objective is right, my motive is right. See if that brother would have said, well, I've got an opportunity to work double time on Saturday. And I'll take that double time money and I'll pay it to mission work. That would have been fine.
Yeah. Right.
God would have honored that all the way through. Yeah. But he went the first one. He dropped out on the very first one. All right. Because first it's the will of God. No, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Then if it's the will of God, my objective is right, my motive is right, I have faith that it'll be done. Because first it's the will of God and I have my motive is to glorify Him. And my objective is to glorify Him. And my motive is to give Him all the glory. So there's no selfish motives about it. If you have a selfish motive, it won't work. Listen, we're the most selfish people in the world. We got selfie sticks, we take selfie pictures, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we got all these different things that you take a picture of yourself. First time I was ever exposed to that was several years ago when I went to the Philippines. All them folks has got them. They're little short things anyway. And they got one of them things that just stands out. I thought, what in the world? It's like a fishing pole. But on the end of it, don't laugh. At the end of it was a phone. And they're holding that thing way out like this. And they're all going. I said, that's what that's for. Yeah, that's what this for. Selfish motive. If you have a selfish motive, it will not work. If your objective is to make money for yourself or something, you'll never succeed. Brother John was talking about it this morning. And then try to do something outside of the will of the Lord, it's not going to work to begin with. Okay? Listen to this. Now, this is Brother Brown. Look, I go on record. In other words, this is thus saith the Lord. I go on record. I say this about the Word of God being a seed. If you can take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God, why are you harping on this, Brother Wade? Because look, our attitude, our mental human attitude is to not do any of that. Am I in the right crowd? Okay. Just wanted to make sure if y'all switched over and another one came in. Look, you want human knowledge. You want to have a temper. Huh? Regina? You wanted to have one. It pleased you to have a temper when you were not in the will of, right. When you were not born again.
Right.
I told you, I didn't have to hit you with my hand. I hit you with this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I cuss you to every name in the book, make you feel about that tall. Well, God didn't remold my mouth. He put a new nature in.
Amen.
Now, hopefully, that same mouth is trying to get you to do the same thing to yours. So he's not going to take the vessel and destroy it. He's going to repurpose it. Amen? He didn't cut your arm off if you drank beer. He didn't cut your arm off and put your new hand on there because this one had Michelob in it or whatever it was. No, he transforms you by the renewing of your mind. That you don't want that stuff anymore. But it didn't bother you to have a temper. You sure didn't want to have patience. And some of us have that problem already. All right? Everybody with me? And brotherly kindness, out the door. Our Bible said, hate your neighbor as you hate everybody else. And I ain't talking about your physical neighbor in your house. I'm talking about everybody. We had hatred. Listen, all those things. The Bible tells us what we had in our nature. Bad, defiled things. We were just nasty. Oh, I know I wasn't. No, your halo may have been held up by horns. But if you can get yourself in position to believe that promise was to you. If you can get in position to believe that promise was made to you. What was the promise? The promise is we're going to win this battle. He's going to equip us. How's he going to equip us? I left that out, but I've been reading it so many times, you ought to know it. He gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And you can press play if you want to, that's fine. But you're not going to grow that statue of perfect man just by pressing play, I promise you that. You're going to have to listen to a live man. I know Brother Jason believes in that. Live ministry, somebody look you in the face and say, we all going to hell if we don't do the right thing. Hey, either faith or doubt. There ain't no halfway. We got to get down to the battle here. Which side are you on? You know what they call somebody that's kind of wishy-washy? They call them a traitor. And you know what? Usually he ends up dead. Usually he ends up dead, and a lot of times the people he was doing the training with kill him. Because they think he might be doing this over here. Well, guess what? I promise you, the devil is a traitor. He may try to get you to do stuff under the auspice that it was God. Because remember, Brother Branham said you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit. Every day of your life. Miracles. Preaching. And die and go to hell. That's how close it is. So I was telling you the other day, somebody came up to me and we were talking about something. And they said, man, when I read Anointed Ones the 10th time, he said, that sermon scared me to death. It should. It should. It's so close that it would deceive us if God didn't put that little thing inside of us. That we went to church and we listened to a fivefold ministry. And that fivefold ministry taught you the word of God to drive that unclean spirit out of you. Like I said before, Jesus never screamed at one demon. Right. Not one. Amen. Actually, they screamed at him. Right. Listen, the devils called him God, and the religious world called him a devil. Right? Oh, you're Beelzebub. And then those demons, when he walked up to those demons said, what are you doing here? They were looking in the spirit realm. They saw the Son of God. They were those fallen angels that had fell from glory, and they said, we recognize you. What are you doing here? You're the Son of God. Jesus said, hold your peace. And they said, oh, can we just leave? Can we just let's get out of the building, folks. I wish every devil in hell would do that now. Please leave this building. We want God to be comfortable, but we want the devil to be so uncomfortable till he leaves the building. We want him to be so uncomfortable in you till he leaves you. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. I can't believe people don't believe you got to get born again. There's nothing divine but God. There's no divine power in the devil. You weren't born with a divine power. You were born with hatred, malice, guile, all those things the Bible said. But according as his divine power hath given unto us some things. Oh, you want me to make it a little bit bigger? It says all. Things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature from the get-go. Because he's going to say, and besides this, besides what? Besides getting born again, add these things to you. Giving all diligence. What is diligence? Haste, earnestness. I think I'll try. I think I'll try to do it. I don't know. That furnace looks really hot. You know what? You're bound. Number one, your mind is bound. You're professing and confessing something that you shouldn't. Listen, that's the imagination of your mind to say that God can't do to you what he done to others. That's binding you. You're binding you. Who's your worst enemy? The devil? No, you're your worst enemy. So besides this, giving all earnest, giving all diligence, add. Why do we need to add if we already got it? I think that word add means to add to. Add to your faith. Now it's your faith. It's not God's faith anymore. It's your faith. Because you've what? You've molded or melded with the faith of God. Vulcanized, the prophet said. And now add to that faith virtue. Or shall I say virtue faith. Because you don't lose faith all the way up that pyramid. You got to have faith that you have the faith of God. The virtue of God. The knowledge of God. The temperance of God. And I believe it, when I looked this up, it really impressed me because you look at that word add, you say, oh, that's just plus, and read what the Greek meaning of that is. To minister unto. There's no way. You may be able again, like I said, to press play and get born again. But you'll never press play and continue that way and add these virtues to your life. You can't do it. You got to have a live ministry to deal with live problems, with live issues, and the things that go on in our life from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday till we get out of here. So add means to minister nourishment. Minister unto. So you got to have a minister. All right, listen to this. A person of virtue makes the progression from knowing what is right to doing what is right. You get born again, you're a babe in Christ, all right? You're going to fall. You're going to cry. Babies cry, right? Babies cry, all right? We cry, Abba Father, tells us in the book of Romans. That's because we were newborn babes, right? Desiring the sincere milk of the word. But what did Paul tell us? What? Grow up. There's meat. I had a glass of milk this morning with my egg. It was good. But I don't want a glass of milk for lunch and a glass of milk for supper. We do believe in supper around here. Dinner's in the middle of the day, supper's at night. I just want to make sure that's clear on that. Because it was the Lord's supper, not the Lord's dinner. That was in the evening, the Bible tells us, all right? But you learn everything when you come here. Some you should and some you shouldn't. But look, it's going from knowing what's right to doing what's right. So now we got to do this.
Yes.
We got to do this. We know what's right. Now we got to do it. Look, he or she intentionally chooses what to say, do, and value, reaching beyond the good toward the best. Look, this is not self-help. This is the Bible. All right? You can read self-help books. That's okay. But the Bible's where you're going to get your nourishment from. The prophet's message is where you're going to get your nourishment from. Reach beyond the good toward the best. In every situation, a virtuous person knows that they have an opportunity to honor the Lord. Power without character is satanic, but power with character is what? Fit to rule. And reflect him to others. It's not that we hold these virtues and we keep them in. No. First thing you want to do is let it out. First thing you want to do is somebody come up to you and say, it's like I said before, Brother Steve, I said, if you have a headache or a problem or an issue with your wife or anything that goes on like that, your kids, you didn't get that, did you? Do you go to the convenience store and ask that guy to pray for you?
No, sir.
Why? There's no virtue.
Right.
Brother Jason, Brother DeMars, Brother Different One, hey, I need some help. Will you pray for me? Why? Because there's virtue there.
Yes.
Right.
There's something you can pull from.
Right.
Get on the phone and call a brother, a sister. You don't call a convenience store operator or the guy. You know, he may be a good guy. I'm not saying anything about it. But still, you don't want to pray for it because there's no virtue there.
Right.
There's no life. Because he's selling beer and wine and cigarettes and all the other stuff. So, everybody with me?
Amen.
All right. So reflect him to others. Real quick. Well, I don't have to be real quick. We ain't got to be there till 4 o'clock. I'm preaching till 3. So. I told y'all already. I warned you. Pack you a lunch. Listen, how many times did Monica tell us not to be there early? I'm just doing what Monica said to do, okay? So if we leave here, if we preach till 3, we leave at 3:15, we get there at 4, we'll be fine. I'm just kidding. Kind of. But these virtues, listen, it's not just that virtue's the first add. These are all virtues.
Yes.
Right.
Everybody with me? All right. So that whole word of that is moral excellence. Value, merit, meritousness, like we were just talking before. Specifically, moral excellence. Not just be morally good. There's a lot of people that are morally good.
Sure.
A lot of people. That's a lot of people that outshine me and you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know them, but I know a few of them.
Yeah.
Okay? But there's something inside, though, that makes us want to go a little bit further.
Right.
Just a little bit further. Amen. Not that they're bad, but you got something they don't have. Maybe you got something you can give them.
Yeah.
But like Daddy said before, he said many, many times, he said maybe your kids don't want this message because you don't live it in front of them.
Right.
Blame him. Don't blame me. I'm just quoting Brother Dale. And that's what he said for years. He's never backed off on it. Mine too. I mean, everybody, all of us. What? Look around. We go home and talk about the preacher. Yeah, I'm fixing to get into something right now. You go home and talk about the preacher. Your kids hear that. Then they start making little snippy little comments because you made them first.
Right.
Or if your kids start talking about it, or your aunts or your uncle, anybody, you don't say, hey, shut your mouth. We're working on, he's still working on me and he's still working on you, right? No, we don't do that. You know what we do? Here, I'm going to put that log on that fire. I'm going to put that bigger log on that one. I want to see it burn. No. No, folks. We need to sweep our own door first. I'm talking about all of us. I got kids that don't come to church. So I did. I tried to live the best I could. And that's what you got to do. You got to try to live the best you can around them. But do they hear you talking about the preacher? They hear you talking about the deacon? They hear you talking about this? You hear you say, well, Brother Brown really didn't mean that. Well, we're not going to listen to that tape anymore because he... Hello, somebody. He's still working on me. Real quick. These virtues affect your senses. Think about it. The thoughts you have when Brother Branham said virtue. First thing pops in your mind. A virgin life. He said, that's not it. Whoa. What do you mean, Brother Ram? That's not it. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about strength. All right? Okay? Well, you got to have the knowledge. We've got knowledge. We've got DDs, LLDs, and double Ds, and all these other college education. No, Brother Ram said, that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
He said, it's knowledge to know whether the Bible's right or wrong. You see what I mean? So there's a paradox. There's something going on that we all believe this over here as the virtues. And Brother Brown said, no, that's not what that means. It means it's over here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Change a renewing of your mind because your mind goes over here.
Yeah.
We got to take our mind and put it back over here.
Yeah.
Put it in the Word of God, knowing that it is knowledge, but it's heavenly knowledge.
Yeah.
All right? Heavenly thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Sitting in heavenly places.
Amen.
Trying to understand God. I say trying because we all try. We try to understand God.
Yes.
All right? So it does affect your senses. But it starts in that heart or the soul of you. And that's just faith and doubt. That's it. There's no in between. You're either a born again believer today or you're lost. I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. He did.
Right.
And you might be justified and sanctified. That's okay. But until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're not born again.
Right.
You're not a Christian.
Right.
You're trying. Absolutely. A lot of us are in that place. But you got to come to where you got to put that stake down and say, God, you know me. You and him's the only two that know each other real well.
Right.
Well, the devil does too. But say, God, I'm done. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. This stinking thinking has got me over here on this side. Nothing's going right. That's why I pray. When I pray for my kids and I pray for your kids, I say, Lord, stir their water. Don't let them sleep until they find you. Just what Josh told us one time, but we were praying for him, and thank God he's back in church, and that's great. Been a while. But he just comes up, and he's just having a goofy time. He acts like me, not my wife. It's goofy time. He's having a goofy time. He's running, hitting people. He was, you know, speeding, and he was getting put in jail. And poor old mom and daddy had to go get him one time. And he's back there now. Yes, that's right. He comes up to us one day, and he says, would y'all stop praying? Didn't that what he said? Would y'all stop praying? Didn't he? Jim said, what do you mean? He said, I know y'all praying for me to do right. He said, I'm out here trying to do all this, and y'all are praying for me to do right, and my whole life being messed up. He said, what?
It's
yeah, it's not working. Make them so uncomfortable.
Amen.
God, make them so uncomfortable. So miserable.
Amen.
With this life. That they want this life. I told y'all many times before. I don't know if I could call wanting the Holy Ghost or not. But you know what I wanted? I wanted what that man had right there. Be it my natural daddy or my spiritual daddy. I wanted what that man had. Because I knew there was a life there. Mom too. There was a life there. I wanted that life. See, I didn't call it a Holy Ghost. You can call it whatever you want to. I wanted that life. Why? Because it was virtue. It was something that was in there, and it came out. I didn't look at the mistakes they made. Sorry, Mom. The hardships of life. I didn't look at that. I looked at the what? Will of God, the purpose, and what they were going to try to do. Brother Dale wore his, he wore his body out. All ministers wear their body out. Why? Because they're giving so much. Trying to what? Get your sorry self in. I'm one of them sorry selves, okay? I'm sorry. Get one of them sorry selves in. It wears them out. Look at Brother Branham. He was 56 years old when he died. He looked like he was about 70. If you look at it, if somebody's got a picture of it somewhere, you can see his hands. Just a picture of his hands when he was doing a wedding. His hands were all crinkled up. Looked to be about 80 years old. Why? Because what he was doing. He was doing it for me and you. Why? He was letting the virtue and knowledge. There's no way you can't say Brother Branham wasn't a manifested Son of God. That all these virtues were working through. Well, that was just for the prophet and he left. No, I don't think so. That's for me and you. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody all right? Can I go just a little bit further? Not everybody said amen. Okay. At least you're not sleeping. Look. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth and goes out the belly is cast out in a draught. Praise God, it ain't got nothing to do with the diet.
That's right.
Right, Brother Aaron? That's right. But those things, right, which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. That's what defiles a man. For out of the heart perceiveth what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. And I'll quote you where Paul said in Corinthians, he said, and such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified. I like that word but every once in a while, but you're washed. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with one washed hand defileth not a man. Remember the Pharisees came up to him and said, oh, he's eating food without washing his hands. Well, I'm the chiefest of sinners because I'm not a good hand washer. Sorry. I eat with my fork, not my hands. Watch this right here, though, but watch what Paul's saying in the book of Romans, Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Lean this way. Lean this way, all right? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So that's the two choices, all right? Out of the abundance of the heart, soul. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you according to Ephesians 4. Prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Paul, a prisoner of Christ. Can you say you're a prisoner of Christ? No, I've got this. I'm in this prison house and I'm in. Be a prisoner of Christ one time. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity. Iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, look, yield your members. What Brother Brown tell you? Now here's a great prophet. The greatest prophet that ever lived before besides Jesus Christ. The greatest prophet. We listen, edge of our seat. Brother Branham, what'd I do if I'm stingy? What'd he say? No, let me tell you in that good Kentucky English, he said, do the vice versa. You know what that means? Do the opposite. No, now we need to pray and fast. And he said, if you're stingy, start giving money away. Some of y'all are pretty stingy. But no, look, that's what Paul's saying. Look, even so now yield. Yield your members' service to righteousness unto holy. Just yield. Listen, we yield to the devil enough.
Amen.
Let's yield to God.
Amen.
And that word, heart, means cardia, or that's where we get the word cardiology from. It denotes the center of all physical and spiritual life. The center and seat of spiritual life, the soul or mind, as it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors, of the understanding, the faculty, the seat of the intelligence. That's why you don't think with your brain. Your brain's a processor. It processes what comes out of here. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Right? As a man thinks in his heart, not in his mind. All right, the faculty and seat of the intelligence, of the will and character, of the soul so far as it is affected and stirred in a bad way or good, or of the soul that is as the seat of the sensibilities, the affections, emotions, desires, appetites, and passions. It's the middle and center of you. Matthew 12, verse 34 says, "For out of the abundance of the what? Heart, the mouth speaketh." All right? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringing forth good things, an evil man out of evil treasures bring forth evil things. Then, Brother Brown, real quick, let me run through these. I want to read you something. You know those five senses are what? Memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination. That's five out here. Now look, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear is to contact the world with. They can be absolutely fooled. Absolutely. So see, taste, feel, smell, and hear is not something you need to depend on. Go deeper. Memory. You know that's our problem. You've heard me say it many times before. Our problem is in that second realm. Because what we remember, what we reason, our consciousness, our imagination. Yeah. What's the old saying? Don't let your imagination get the best of you. Happens a lot. And then the last one is affection. We know that's not agape love. That's filial love. Mm-hmm. That's the love you have down here. Mm-hmm. Brother Brown said agape love is from heaven.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're born again, you have agape love in your soul. So your soul's in heaven. I've already told you many times before, I believe your soul is in another dimension. Right. Now, not over yonder. It's still here. But it's working in another dimension. Because look, this ain't soda it.
Yeah.
This is fallen. Yeah. This is something your soul should never touch if it's born again. Because evil and good can't live together. You can't mold them together. So our memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination is what's killing us. And Brother Ram tells us right here, God of this evil age, 1965. And as I've said many times before, folks, this is going to really stun some of you that are here for the first time. Your body, flesh, does not sin. Think about it. It's only a vehicle. Because what's motivating inside, just like I said before, prove that. Jesus told him one day, because in the Old Testament, the Pharisees could stand and say, I've never touched that woman. I've never committed adultery. Never touched her. But Jesus went a little bit further. He said, if you just think about it. So it wasn't the flesh part. It was the thought part. So let's don't say, well, my flesh made me do it. No. Your flesh is something that holds all that other stuff together. All right? Holds your guts together and your real heart and all that other stuff. It's a capsule that holds you together. But you what? Out of the heart proceeds everything. All right? So don't blame, well, it's my flesh made me. No. Jesus said the flesh is weak, but the spirit's willing. But he's vice versa with the disciples because they fell asleep. So the five outer senses are memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. I told you one time before, I want to read this again. Your memory is what you remember. And you can't erase that. I hope to God that you know, there's a lot of things that we did when we were younger that we remember, but there's a lot of things we did that we don't remember. I mean, you vaguely remember something, you know, that happened. Well, as time goes on, time what? Time heals all wounds. Time, the bad stuff. Because remember, the Bible says the former things will be passed away. What? In your mind. God's going to wipe your hard drive. But he's going to leave the good things. He's a good God. He's going to lead the good. The time you had a wonderful time in a service. The time you got born again. The time you married your wife. Come on, somebody. The time your kids came to the altar and gave their heart to God. The time you came to the altar. You're going to remember those things. But the heartaches and trials and the things that we, Lord Jesus, the things we set up and all night long we worry about stuff. Can't do a thing about them. And when we get over there, you ain't even going to remember they happened. So why worry about them now? But what? We're a bunch of worry warts. Right? We worry about everything. But that's just the human part. But with what? We got to yield our members over here to where there's positive, not to the negative. All right, one more thing, then we'll close. Memory, reasoning. What? We reason things out. It's a decision. Or we think a logical, sensible way. You know, when they were at Nicaea, they didn't come in and go, I think we're going to get the people to believe this doctrine. No. They went in believing that was the doctrine that Jesus said.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Now the devil was inside going, I'll get them. I'll get them. But the outside man, they were trying. They were trying. But they what? They yielded themselves to the devil and not to God. All right? Everybody okay with that? And God knew that. Winked at their ignorance. But now today, you can't be ignorant. Book's been open. There's nothing hid. Nothing. So that gives us power to take the word of God like it's supposed to, not take a false doctrine. These people will kill you over false doctrine. When it's actually killing them. All right, memory reason. Conscious. We talk about conscious. That's just the conscious part of you. That's when you go to sleep at night and you have them crazy, silly dreams that you don't know where they came from. Okay, just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only... Okay. It's just that's just the humanity part. That's just a firing mechanism in your brain. Just putting all these things together. All right. Imagination is the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never will be. That's exactly what it is. Imagination is what you imagine something not present to the senses or never will be. Never will come to reality. We need to get rid of that one. I don't like that one at all. But let me tell you this right here and then we'll close. Musicians, come on. Aaron, I'll read you this real quick. Brother Brown said in Christ the mystery, or Christ revealed in his own word, this I don't have this. I just pulled it up a few minutes ago. You can't love with your body, you love with your spirit. Your body only what? Projects it. All right, everybody with me? All right. Because remember, the Pharisees in their heart, they wanted to do what they couldn't do to that girl. Because they're afraid they'll get caught. And they were under the Bible in the Old Testament. As long as you didn't touch them, you were fine. But Jesus said, no, you sit there and formulate these things in your mind that you want to do with them, you're just as guilty. All right? Let me read this real quick. Now, this is about affection. But I thought it timely, if we have a wedding coming up, this is a timely read right here. We'll stop that. We'll continue with that a little bit later on. Listen to this. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. In time-tested memorials, I was talking about men losing their affection for their wife and don't love them as they did when they were sweethearts. Shame on you. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Yeah. That's what, everybody hold their hand up. If you don't, you didn't believe it. Okay? All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You ought to do it. She's always your sweetheart. Absolutely, that's the part she should be. And you should treat her like that. Oh, never let that little honeymoon cease. Because it isn't going to in heaven.
Amen.
Don't let that honeymoon cease because it isn't going to in heaven. Praise God. It's going to be just perfectly one there. Looks like some women ought to have said amen to that, don't it? He said, you always hear me about bawling out women. Said, Sister Hickerson, why don't you say something? Sister Hickerson, why don't you say something? Or somebody. Oh, thank you, Sister Cox. That's very good. Brother Cox, that's for you. I'm just reading a quote. And we should never forget to honor each other. Always be sweethearts. Never let it cease. Catholic boy came to me not long ago. His wife was separated. He said, Billy, I hate to come to you. I'm Catholic and you're a Protestant. Said, but a priest run me out of my house, or I'm out of his house a minute ago. And I said, what's the matter with him? He said, well, he told me, he says, I drink a little. All right. He said, of a night I work hard. And said, my wife thinks I ought to come in every night and kiss her and hug her and make it out. I'm telling you what Brother Ram said. And make out just like we were fixing to get married. See, you must always remember, I said, she's 40 years old now at that time, and she really needs your attention. So they had a divorce court. Now, I'm not doing this. It's kind of funny. I don't know what to do. I said, go call her. If I go out there as a Protestant, she won't listen to me. He said, oh, she likes you. And I said, you go call her and tell her that you've changed your mind. And so the next day, I called the judge and talked to him. So Brother Branham went and talked to the judge for him. And I told the boy, I said, I'll be sitting right down beneath the floor where the judge is going to give you a raking over. I'll be praying for you. Don't tell her about it. All right, he said. So I was down there praying. After a while, I heard some little clicking coming down the steps. And here they come. Arms around one another, just smiling. I said, well, hello there. He said, Brother Branham, it's been some time since I seen you. In parentheses, he said, yeah, just about 30 minutes ago. Sometime since I seen you. And she said, well, Reverend Branham, I haven't seen you in a long time. Glad to see you again. I said, thank you. Why, you look like your sweethearts. I said, we're just doing fine, aren't we, honey? She said, yes, we are, dear. She said, come out to see us sometime, Reverend. I said, thank you very much. Said goodbye to him. Went by, the old boy turned around and waved back like this. They were all happy. Now listen, that's right. Look, love conquers everything. Amen. Even filial love. Yeah. Even filial love conquers everything. Agape love conquers it all. But look what he said. That's right. Conquers everything. Just love. You can have all your signs and evidences, but just give me love. He said, that'll settle it for me. Just give me love. That's right. Wonderful. Brother Brown, I hadn't seen you in a long time. He said, I saw him 30 minutes ago. Kind of funny. He let him tell a little fib. And he didn't take him to the altar and smack him upside the head. Why? It was to cover up that he'd been talking to Brother Branham, because his wife would go, you've been talking to him. How some women are. You've been talking to him. Yeah, well, we have to talk to people every once in a while. But I thought Brother Branham, he said, look, love will conquer everything. And I'm telling you, when we get to that love right there, that's not love that a normal person has. That's not filial love. That's agape love. And that's the epitome. That's the love that Jesus had when he went to the cross and said, not my will, but thy will be done. When he went and said, I'm not going to save myself, I'm going to save you. That's the ultimate sacrifice. But you know what? We could do the same thing and still die and go to hell. But he had the Holy Ghost inside of him. And he said that, Lord, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give it to them. See, I can give my life for Brother Aaron, but I can't put my soul in him. He probably wouldn't want it. Put my soul in him. But the love of God, the agape love that he had when he was on the cross, that was the part that you are now. And he was able to come back into a believer. And that's why we believe in the new birth here more than anything. If you're not born again, you're lost. You might be heading in the right direction, that's fine. But until you get sealed in, Satan is right there with his grubby hands, and he's going to claw you and do everything he can to get you. But you know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let's sing a song. God bless you. And I will not leave. Remember, we don't need to get over there at 4 o'clock. We need to get over there. If you get over a little bit earlier, I mean at 3:30. But that's okay. But just don't go in the facility because there's not a lot of room. But let's just eat a bite here and then leisurely take our drive over there. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you, all of you, for coming today.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying out.
If you have a need, all the dozen.
I'm onward bound.
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven, the table and a higher plane. Let's get just a little bit higher, a little bit more, and a little bit more.
Our desire to stay. Where doubts arise and fears dismay. Some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane. On higher ground, I want to
scale the utmost high and catch a glimpse. I believe we can. I believe we're able to do that. But still, I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Take your time, one more time. Lift me up. By faith on heaven, a table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand. Brother Brown said, when you've done all you can do, what did he say do? Run? No, he said stand. Stand right there. And let God come on the scene and do the work. Let God be the one that does the work through you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for, like I said, thank you for coming. And Abby's getting ready to drive, so we were asking for a double blessing. We all live on the road too, so we all need prayer too. So, but Abby's got to drive by us 3 or 4 times, so. No. Listen, we should all pray for our kids. Driving. What do? When we get in the car and get ready to go, leave, go, now not to church, maybe we should, but when we get ready to leave on a trip, we stop, put that car right there in the driveway and park, and we pray before we leave. And when we pull in the driveway, what's the first thing we say, Jim? Thank you, Lord. Sister Brady taught us that years ago when we go to Jamaica. All those many times we'd go over there, and boy, you sure enough, you're on a road about that wide, and the cars are about that wide. And Sister Brady, we'd get out. It'd be 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd get out, and she'd say, thank you, Lord. And she meant it. Listen, if God didn't protect us, Satan would love to kill us. He'd love to take us out. He does not like us. He hates us. He hates us because there's something he can't get to. He can peck all he wants to, but he cannot get into your soul if you're born again. Let's sing a song as we dismiss. Lord bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. We'll see you over there if you're going. But we're going to eat something downstairs before we go. So we'll be fellowshipping a little bit downstairs before we take off.
The rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed, you're dismissed. Are gathering in. I will raise a heavenly anthem in that
that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering.
God bless you, buddy. Love you too, buddy. Appreciate you. Said what now? Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'll look for it.